Greetings in Christ, I'm Pastor Jacob Sipes. The New Testament reading for today is from Luke 12, verse 54 to 13, verse 17. Jesus also said to the crowds, "When you see a cloud rising in the west, you say at once, 'A shower is coming,' and so it happens. And when you see the south wind blowing, you say, 'There will be scorching heat,' and it happens. You hypocrites! You know how to interpret the appearance of earth and sky, but why do you not know how to interpret the present time? And why do you not judge for yourselves what is right? As you go with your accuser before the magistrate, make an effort to settle with him on the way, lest he drag you to the judge, and the judge hand you over to the officer, and the officer put you in prison. I tell you, you will never get out until you have paid the very last penny." There were some present at that very time who told him about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. And he answered them, "Do you think that these Galileans were worse sinners than all the other Galileans because they suffered in this way? No, I tell you, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. Or those 18 on whom the tower in Siloam fell and killed them, do you think that they were worse offenders than all the others who lived in Jerusalem? No, I tell you, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish." And he told this parable. A man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came seeking fruit on it, and found none. And he said to the vine dresser, "Look, for 3 years now I have come seeking fruit on this fig tree, and I find none. Cut it down. Why should it use up the ground?" And he answered him, "Sir, let it alone this year also, until I dig around it and put on manure. Then if it should bear fruit next year, well and good. But if not, you can cut it down." Now he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath, and behold, there was a woman who had had a disabling spirit for 18 years. She was bent over and could not fully straighten herself. When Jesus saw her, he called her over and said to her, "Woman, you are freed from your disability." And he laid his hands on her. Immediately she was made straight, and she glorified God. But the ruler of the synagogue, indignant because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath, said to the people, "There are 6 days in which work ought to be done. Come on those days and be healed, and not on the Sabbath day." Then the Lord answered him, "You hypocrites! Does not each of you on the Sabbath untie his ox or his donkey from the manger and lead it away to water it? And ought not this woman, a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan bound for 18 years, be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath day?" As he said these things, all his adversaries were put to shame, and all the people rejoiced at all the glorious things that were done by him. O Lord, have mercy on us. Thanks be to God. In many and various ways God spoke to his people of old by the prophets, but now in these last days he has spoken to us by his Son. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, we can be really good at noticing things. We see the trees budding and the daffodils popping up and we say, "Spring has sprung." Or maybe you'll look down at the low gas alert in your car and say, "I should probably stop and get gas soon." We read these signs. We interpret these moments. We know what's happening here. And yet Jesus says, "You know how to read the obvious, so why can't you read me?" Jesus is speaking not in riddles here in our reading for today, not hidden. He's not obscure. He's speaking plainly. "Repent. Settle with your accuser. The time is now," he says. And yet the people don't listen. Or maybe worse, they hear, but they don't want to listen. You can hear a sermon every Sunday, hear the scriptures read, hear the words of absolution, and still not hear. Because listening means something dangerous. It means taking it to heart. It means being changed. And that's where we resist. Look at the people around Jesus in our reading for today. They come to him with a news story. "Jesus, did you hear about those Galileans Pilate killed?" They want analysis, commentary, maybe even a little judgment. They want Jesus to tell them why that tragedy happened, so they can avoid doing whatever behavior those other people were guilty of. They say, "Those poor people. But surely they had it coming, right?" And Jesus shuts it down immediately. "Do you think they were worse sinners?" "No," he says. And then he turns the question on them by saying, "Unless you repent, you will all likewise perish." And that's exactly what we don't want. We don't want Jesus to explain, or we do want Jesus to explain the other. We want Jesus to measure that distance. But yet Jesus insists on confronting you, though. We want to keep theology in our heads. Jesus applies it to our hearts, though. And then notice what happens in the healing. A woman bent over for 18 years, 18 years of suffering, of limitation, of pain, and Jesus sees her, he calls her, he speaks, "Woman, you are freed." And just like that, she is made straight. This is not subtle. This is the kingdom of God breaking into the world. And what happens? The synagogue ruler speaks up and says, "Wrong day." Wrong day? Jesus just freed a daughter of Abraham and from Satan's bondage. And all this ruler can see is a calendar violation? That's what sin does. It doesn't just make us ignorant, it makes us blind to what matters most. Jesus speaks life and we argue about rules. Jesus speaks freedom and we complain about timing. Jesus stands right in front of us and somehow we miss him. Before we shake our heads at them too hard, though, we need to recognize ourselves in these people because we do the same thing. Jesus speaks in his word, you are forgiven, yet we still carry guilt. Jesus speaks in his supper, given and shed for you, and yet we still doubt if it's enough. Jesus speaks in baptism, you are mine, I have chosen you, the sign of the cross is marked upon your forehead and upon your heart. And yet we still wonder if we belong. He speaks and we do not listen, or we listen halfway, or we reinterpret, or we delay. We say, later, Lord, not yet, I'll get serious about this another time. And yet here's the good news. Even if we don't listen, Jesus keeps speaking. That fig tree that should have been cut down, but instead the vine dresser, he steps in. The vine dresser gets his hand dirty. He digs. He fertilizes. He does the work. That's Jesus. He doesn't just warn. He doesn't just call for fruit. He creates it. Through his word, through his cross, through his resurrection, he takes your unfruitfulness, your deafness, your resistance, and he carries it all to the cross. Therefore, the judgment falls not on you, but on him. And then he rises, and he speaks again to his disciples, yes, but to the whole world as well. On Easter, he greets us with that Easter greeting, peace be with you. And unlike the crowds, unlike the rulers of the synagogues, you are given ears to hear. You are given faith in these words through your baptism. It is faith that makes all the difference. If the Holy Spirit had not given us these gifts, we would be no better off than the disciples, the crowds, and the Jewish leaders at that time. Yet the Holy Spirit has, in fact, made our bodies, our hearts, our minds his holy dwelling. We hear the words of Jesus and we know that those words are for us. Amen. We pray. O Jesus, Lord of the Sabbath, rescue us from our hypocrisy, which keeps us from seeing you as the center of all Scripture and acknowledging the present time as the time of salvation. Call us to repent of our self-righteousness so that we might look to you alone as the source of our life. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.